start, would you all rise and join me in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We're glad you're all here tonight. The consent agenda is before you, which includes the approval of the agenda, the approval of the amendments from June 28th, and a notice that our next meeting is on September 27th. I'd accept a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Paul James, I move that we...
And a second?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed to that? None. Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment? We want to leave a little time for any members of the public, and I'm not seeing any. Okay, we're going to continue on. We are at board business. Dave Geary, how about an update on our tilt-up?
Do you have pictures for me? There we go. Okay, so let's stick with that one. That's the site right now. The area outlined in green is the building footprint. The area outlined in red are walls that have been built. And the blue is pads where walls will be built prior to being tilted up. So there's not a lot to see there. You have to use your imagination really well to see what this is going to finally look like. But it's in progress, and we're almost spot on budget, and things seem to be going well, at least so far.
So the green part is the building?
Yeah.
This is the exciting part. Tell them about the process. Not everybody knows how a tilt-up works.
So in the blue area, they'll put in forms, and they'll pour concrete in them, and then they will look like what's in the red area, and they will use a crane to be able to tilt those up, and then they will prop them into place until they can be attached to one another and secured so that they won't blow over if the wind comes up.
So those are the walls?
Yep, those are the walls.
The blue area, they're going to put forms in, make the walls out of cement, let it cure, crane puts it in place, big stanchions, steel stanchions will hold in place until they're all tied together.
Yeah, it looks like a science fiction movie.
Yeah, and so this is the bigger opportunity. Go drive by, it's all flat ground, and then next week there'll be a building there.
So we're only tilting the fuel building, which is the two small red ones.
The red ones is the fuel. What's the blue?
The blue is where they're going to build new walls.
Yeah.
That's the form pad.
Just
the main building walls will be probably end of September-ish. They'll tilt up.
So the two red, they're going to tilt up around what's in between them?
Yep.
They'll actually be a little bit wider, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
So let's see the other picture and see if it gives us any better perspective. But so I guess you get a better feel for the footprint of the building.
Maybe. So, Brad, show them right there in the middle of the green, there's a forklift, just to give them some scope, just right there.
Yeah, that's a big forklift.
So you can see kind of the scope.
Wow.
That's a big forklift.
Yeah, a really big forklift.
And then when you go back, you can see.
It looks like a toy.
And then those white things are the foam that goes, the foam insert that's going in the walls. And that's what they're building inside the walls.
And that the green is where the buses will be parked?
That's the administration, that's the maintenance, and buses.
Yep. Okay, so it'll all be one part.
Yeah, if you're looking at the down here will be where the administration section is.
Okay.
Maintenance bays are over here. And extend into the bus barn here. Come up into the wash bay, bypass lanes here, and more bus parking over there. And just to clarify on this one, this section right here is actually the end to the
building. So they have all four walls there.
Yeah. So, and the other side is the entrance that'll go up on this way. So that whole thing would be important.
And then what's the red on the top?
More walls.
That's the walls for the, they'll tip up onto that far side of the building.
So they're done.
No.
They're being framed.
They're
work
so out. In this one, these are just wood framed out with the base.
Zoom in on that, Brad. They can probably see that.
This is where, sorry.
Oh, yes.
It pixelates a lot.
But you can tell.
That's the wood frames with windows or doors where they need to be. Hmm. And if you go back to the other one, so that's just sitting up. That's where they put the wood on the slabs. On this other one, they actually poured a preliminary layer of concrete on the other side, put in the insulation and the run tubing, all the tubes, conduit and everything like that. And then they'll pour a top layer on top of that one, and then they'll pour it into it.
And the science of concrete has come light years in the last 10 years. So when you make a batch of concrete, you use rock and sand and concrete and lime. Mixed in the proper proportions will give you different kinds of product. It's like making steel. And so, I happened to be friends with the person who came up with those formulas for LeGrand Johnson's for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. They can develop a mix that will dry within 5 hours.
But it'll still
say in the name of the driveway.
Tilt up. It's a tilt up building.
Tilt up.
So they pour the wall and they tilt it up.
Yep.
That's where the term comes from.
Does that is that what the cream helps them? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Again, all the buildings that are out there in that park are tilt-up buildings, or most of the buildings are tilt-up buildings, and so we'll fit in well with our design, and we'll look very similar to
That's a tilt-up right there.
Yeah.
Mm, that's cool.
Blackstone.
So is that a process that he's developed, and is it being used all around the world?
Yes, it is.
So. Yeah, I rode the train in from Denver Airport, and there's a great big warehouse going up, and it's all the walls are all tilted, and they're all braced.
Okay. All of these buildings out by Bridgerland that are being built in Blue Springs are all tilted.
Yeah. So, Al Sporting Goods warehouse is a tilt up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fast.
Yeah.
Will it hold in an earthquake?
Yes, actually. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That's where the science of concrete comes in.
That's cool.
Very cool process. Drive by. It's going to be exciting. Thank you, Dave. Glenn, would you give us an update on 2023 second quarter financials, please?
Yes, we met last week with Todd and Curtis, and they updated us, and you've got the information in front of you. Most everything is running as planned. A couple of things. One thing is to point out that utilities, Curtis says, those have jumped up significantly. They've basically doubled their cost on their natural gas, and so that has jumped up significantly. So it will probably come in higher than we anticipated. However, there's enough savings in other areas that the total area budget will probably be okay. The other thing to point out we talked about before was the paratransit buses that we will. They're still online to receive this fiscal year toward the end of the year rather than, actually I think they might be in September or something, I can't remember.
Yeah, but anyway, those are full-size buses.
Oh, they're full-size?
Yeah,
oh, excuse me. Full-size. So they will come in and we will, that will require a budget adjustment as we discussed before, so we're anticipating that we'll see that in September. Is that correct, Curtis? So, we should, on our agenda, see an amendment for that, and then actually pass it in October. We'll see it in September, right? And then, or
actually, we're going to try and pass it in September.
We'll try to pass it. So, but we have to post that for several days beforehand, so that the public can have input on that, and then have a public hearing on that. Open time in the agenda for our meeting in September. So that's what we're anticipating. I don't know of anything else that's to point out that, we're online. You can see the numbers that Curtis has generated for you there.
type of question.
Yes.
So, where the building, the base is being built, it's really swampy, and there's going to be water on the floor from washing the buses. What kind of drainage will there be if you get to keep that floor dry, or?
Building people.
Well, I mean, so yeah, part of what we do is we have drainage for all of those things. In the wash bay, there'll be drains. In the, even in the parking area, there'll be drains so that we can clean the floor. And it would just go out to what we call a sump pump, where it separates the oil and the dirt from the water. I'm sorry, sump, yeah.
It's an oil sand separator.
Oil sand separator, sorry. I said sump pump wrong thing. Thank you.
Sorry.
Part of the marsh and the cattails and all that.
Well, it would go into the sewer system. It won't be released into the marsh, into the wetlands area. That's protected.
Not the sewer, it goes into storm drain.
But yeah, so
we're not in the sewer, right?
No, we're not. Sorry, that would be bad. We don't want to.
You perked up there for a second.
Yeah.
I think you have to perk up. It's in North Lovers.
It won't run. It won't run into the wetland area at all.
Okay,
that's
but
protected.
The floor will basically remain dry. They're not going to have to be out there waiting while they're washing the buses more than usual.
Yeah, they'll be inside.
There's a trough drains.
Yep.
I want to talk about utilities. Curtis, talk to us about utilities. A little off metric right now, and maybe Jeannie can give us some insight on Logan City utilities.
So it's not really Logan City where we're seeing the increase. What we're seeing is our cost of a decatherm of gas last year was just under $6 or right around $6 per decatherm. Right now it's running over $12 per decatherm. And it has been all year long. And so the huge portion of what happened was we had a really, really cold winter. We use a lot of gas. We have a boiler system that melts snow around the transit center. Did a fantastic job. All that snow kept safe walkways. We didn't have anybody slide, slip, or anything. But we used a lot of gas. And at a cost that's double what we... I misread the mark. I was thinking gas would had a really strong chance of coming back down, and it didn't.
Mm.
So.
Well, they Dominion Energy just sent a letter out saying it's probably not going anywhere but up.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a huge concern for us.
So my question
my
would
house
be
bill's gone up.
More related to the gas and the utilities as they will affect the new building.
Yeah.
And have we adequately planned for that increase in expenditure? Because we're going to have 50 times the space.
I love somebody else who exaggerates the same way I do. Thank you. We actually have started discussing that. I put together some ballpark figures. We've actually considered going through and hiring a utility analyst to actually do some projections.
Are we doing any solar or anything like that in the building? Are we doing heat pumps? Are we doing anything to mitigate those costs?
Not at this point.
It was originally planned.
We had a dream of doing that, but we're running short on budget. So.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what, you're gonna run shorter on budget if we don't do it.
And that's why we're going back to the state to look for more money, because we can't bring in solar. It's designed to bring in that, and so yes, there. And the way that we've designed the system, we're trying to go for max efficiency for the heating in that area. But yeah, our costs will go up, and just on the gas side of things, I'm pegging it at about triple what we're currently doing.
So how many buses are going to be housed?
How many buses?
Uh-huh.
We'll have 29 large buses and 11 buses between the paratransit.
That's almost 50 times as much. Just saying.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
In that same vein, though, Gene, I would like some insight on Logan City utilities and what we ought to contemplate for a 2024 budget. Do you have any insight you could share with us?
I do know that we just finished doing a rate study,
mm-hmm.
and there have been some changes. They are doing all they can to keep the costs as low as possible, but there have been some changes for commercial use. They will go up a little bit, but not, and there is still the chance that you have the one-time fee if the cost of energy is so outrageous that we can't get it at any lower rate. But they are trying as hard as they can not to impact the businesses and the residents of Logan any more than they have to, but it has been hard.
So my understanding, and I don't have real hard facts on it, so I'm asking you, but my understanding is on the residential side, we should expect 2% per year for 8 years.
Yes.
Should we plan for more than on this side, on the commercial side?
I don't believe it's much, I'm trying to think if I can remember the numbers. It depends upon how much you use, because commercial is based on usage even more than a residence is. But I think they tried to target that 2% at least at the base rate, the initial rate. The other ones may have gone up a little bit more than that. Okay. And it is scheduled to go up that much for 8 years.
Okay, so some metric of that 2% should be applied to our commercial rates. And then gas is just a free-for-all. I have no idea what you budget for.
Well, and the interesting thing too is, and this is an aside, but when you move to North Logan, you move to Rocky Mountain Power.
Right.
And Rocky Mountain Power is now in the process of doing a big rate alteration. So they will be going, but they have to go to the Public Service Commission.
I see.
In order to get that done. But they have not raised rates for quite some time, you know, for a while. And they're sitting in the same position we were sitting in. But we're not in as bad a position as some of the cities in Utah that didn't have the extra fee they could charge for the extra cost of electricity. And they had to take it all out of reserves.
Okay.
So
it's going to be a more
especially if they had to go out on the open market.
Yep.
Have enough. In your pool.
Yeah.
You think there's a one-time fee, like an annual fee?
Capital call.
No, there's
capital.
No, it's a special fee that can be applied if the costs are way out of line. There were 2 months of last summer when they applied that fee to residences and commercial to help offset the increased cost in energy acquisition.
I believe we eliminated that and just the 2%, I believe, increase.
It's still,
2%, wasn't it?
It was 2%, but they have they still have the ability to do that if they absolutely have to.
Yeah, I think higher, because we have our own power too.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same situation. I think we're doing
okay.
That small rate increase is like 2 cents.
So that kind of puts us in the mindset of what we should be doing for 2024.
It's going to happen. And Rocky Mountain Power is going to get it because they're going to be able to justify it to the Public Service Commission. It's not, I mean, they can't make it go through.
On the flip side, Curtis has made us $113,000 on our investment, so well done. And you're only halfway through the year.
That's
something like a 26% return, 50% return. Oh, well, let's see. Anyway, well done. We like that. So that pays for our gas bill, apparently. That's awesome. Any other questions regarding where we are at year to date with finances?
So could we talk a little bit about, and I know we've talked about it in Finance Committee, but what is involved in charges for services? Curtis?
Charges for services. The biggest one in there is the contract that we have between us and Pocatello for all the mileage that we do from the Idaho border up into Preston and back. So that's, our contract with them is about $60,000 a year.
Okay.
So that's the largest portion of it. Also in there is advertising. Right now that is really, really low because we were in the middle of switching advertising agencies, as we talked about previously. And that typically would make up the bulk of the difference there. Every once in a while, there's a little bit of other charges, but they're a couple $1,000 here.
But this is income.
On the income, yeah. So we charge Idaho for the mileage that we go over there.
Okay.
They reimburse.
But how did that work for advertising?
For advertising, that's us charging for people to advertise on the bus.
Oh, okay, okay.
Sorry.
And
I didn't explain that.
Is that not, I'm sorry, you said we were changing companies?
We changed companies. We went out to bid for who would be selling the advertising space, and a different company won.
Different than our marketing and promotion. This is our advertising.
Okay, I'm like.
These are the ones selling the ads on the bus. And it's different than who does our advertising to promote us.
Okay.
So these are people actually out there trying to sell the ads, trying to convince people like E-Tech to buy.
And they actually have their own wraps that they put on, or do they buy them from a local company?
They contract, right now they're contracting with a local company to develop, to actually produce the wraps and install them. So that portion stays for local.
Any questions? Any other questions? No? Okay, don't go anywhere, Curtis. We're coming back to you. And we're going to talk about priorities for 2024 budgeting. Before we talk about the actual priorities, let's just kind of talk about expectations for tonight. Because I don't think we're going to roll into a vote, but we are going to talk about these are the priorities that the staff has percolated to the top, and they feel like, you know, this is where we ought to invest and budget for in the future. The hope is that you'll take the next 30 days or so, let it settle and think about it, talk about it, and we'll probably vote on those priorities next time. We need to vote on it at a certain point because we want to make sure that staff understands this is where we want money to go in the future. Is that a fair analysis? Okay, time's yours.
So,
I was going to say, I remember going through this last year. Are these budget priorities significantly different than the ones for the current year?
There are a number that are significantly different. There are certain ones that will show up as repetitive just because we continue to value that portion. I'll outline that as we're going along.
Okay.
That's a great question. So as we get going through this, and Patrick, thank you, kind of an outline of the calendar so you kind of see where this is all going. So what we're doing tonight is we're just presenting what we as management have developed as where we think a focus of the budget priorities should be. Where should we be putting our dollars for the best use? Where are we recommending to you? Come September 30th, we would like you to consider these and then determine if they're in accordance, if you guys are in agreement, then you vote on it so we continue in that same course in unison. As we work into September, we're also finalizing budget amounts and being ready. And we anticipate, similar to like what we've done in the last couple of years, where we would have budget workshops where people could come, ask very in-depth questions, be able to pursue things. And we'd have a couple workshops in October, in anticipation of coming together in October to really kind of discuss, is the budget going according to the priorities? Are there concerns? Are there questions? In October, we would be asking you also to approve the benefit package that we'd be offering so that we can sign all the insurance contracts that we need to do, because we have to give that heads up so we can hold our open enrollment. So in October, we'd be approaching you to approve the benefit package based off of our preliminary budget discussions. November, we would be coming back through to have the tentative budget, which is really close to final, but that we would have a meeting here. You would adopt a tentative budget in November, and then in December, we would have the public hearing on the final budget, and you'd pass the final budget in December. So that kind of gives the calendar. Any questions? We went through this with the audit finance committee, and they like the idea of having budget workshops again. Okay, so budget priorities. This is very similar to last year. We are continuing to focus on what makes Cache Valley Transit District awesome, which is our drivers, our employees that are delivering the service. So we're analyzing the market. We're going to look at cost of living, what was the market doing, also merit increases, so we'll be coming through and put a priority on that, including training. And sometimes we don't really recognize, when I have a very brand new person versus a person who has 5 years and they've been through a couple training courses and they've had some experience, there's value in that 5 year person. And we want to be able to retain that where we can. But if we do have somebody new, we want to be able to have dollars. And even for those people, we want to have dollars to train them and keep their progress going. So you'll see benefits, training, and as well as wages. Capital, this is where you'll see some changes in this one. Well, obviously, we'll be continuing on to complete the building. Anticipated completion is right around December 1st of 2024. But in conjunction with that, we're going to be dedicating time and effort to develop what we call a facility transition plan. It's not as easy to take an existing business and just walk over there and say, hey, we're running. Drivers have to be trained on where they go in, where they go out, how do they park their buses. We have trained people on where the fueling's at, how the bus wash system works. So we're going to develop that a whole plan for how will we transition from our current facility over to the new facility. And we need to do that in 24. So we're going to be dedicating time and resources into that process. We're also going to be looking at, is there anything in technology that we should be looking at as we transition over in there? Is there some things that we can take advantage of? Is our current technology getting a little bit outdated, and should we? And so if there's an opportunity that we're identifying in the next few months, we will put that into the budget as well. And then right now, UDOT and Logan City are partnering together, and we're fortunate to be a part of that on a signal priority plan where our buses would not have signal preemption, but they would have signal priority. So let's just say a bus is running behind schedule, it may hold a green turn arrow just a little bit longer so our bus can get through. And that's part of, we're testing that system throughout Logan, and UDOT's sponsoring that. We don't have to pay anything as far as I know yet.
Will the city be able to go over and equip their ambulances and police cars with that?
Just that question. Yeah, that's our understanding, is it's coordinated with, and those ones may have signal preemption. I think UDOT's working through that and testing the system.
So we'll always want to drive through Logan in front of the bus.
Behind.
Either way, you're gonna have a chance to make them alive. Our safety, this one's very similar to last year. Safety is always a big concern. So we're proposing to continue our safe safety program. There are rewards into it for our employees for safe behavior. And so we want to keep that going. We've had great success over the last few years. We don't see that diminishing yet. So we're going to continue. That's our point of emphasis.
Do we have rewards and safety things like in the maintenance shops and stuff like that?
Yes.
Those guys?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, our safety program has a component that focuses on driver, frontline workers, but then there's also a component that focuses on all the other people, including mechanics that have a reward system as well. That's a great question. Public education, this one has a little bit of difference. We will continue with rumor to our market outreach. The last bullet point is we're going through a rebranding effort. We talked about this, trying to get CBTD just rolls off the tongue for many of us. It's pretty simple to say. We're going to something simpler. There's going to be more presentation on this, but the board, one of the budget priorities will be to actually push that rebranding effort out to the community. And I think we're having something next month on that possibly.
It's upcoming, yeah.
And then our final, we do have planning activities. This is an area that did change significantly, our planning activity. This year, we've been working on the long-range plan. This next year, we're going to, The federal government is requiring us to understand what it takes to switch to electric vehicles, and there are strategic plans that they're recommending, well, requiring in certain circumstances that we have in place. And so we'll be starting on that, we'll be working through that process in 24 as one of the budget priorities. And then we'll also continue to work with Logan City on the Main Street study as UDOT's working through that process. As well as we're just going to say the economic impact of CBT on the local economy. We've got some more broad-based numbers, but we're going to propose, we're looking at one of our projects as being actually having a local study so that it applies right to us.
Is that like paying somebody like at the university, or is that in-house?
That's what we're currently researching right now, is what would we propose in that area? How much would it cost in the various areas? Obviously, we'll go through a competitive process to do that, and so I can't say who it would be right now. We're just proposing that we go into the budget to put money in there based off of our understanding of what it could cost, but have a really solid economic study so that we can use that specifically as we go out to communities, go out to businesses, go out to the public.
So what has been unsolid about the ones that we have done in the past?
They've been more based off of national data or broad geographical data, where this one will focus on how much dollars are we specifically bringing in, how much does it roll through our specific economy, and understanding the true flow of our dollars and our true impact versus a broad, this is generally what happens.
The other part of that, Jeannie, is some of those studies are getting pretty old, honestly.
And
we've had a lot of changes. Now we capture internet cells and some of these things, and so our community's growing. We just want to see at the local level, what does CBTV really do when it comes to economic benefit? How does it help people access employment? I think we just want to have some of those answers. For you as a board, as you go out and advocate, for me as I go out and advocate, just as we get questions from constituents, you know, why are we funding this transit system? I think that's something that we really want to be able to have good, solid numbers for people.
Yeah, I had somebody call me.
Last year when we were, I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No, that's me.
Last year when we were going to legislature and different stakeholders, we would like to talk about how many people were riding the bus to get to work. And the national average is 82%. We have no clue what it is here. We're getting better because we have the counters on the bus, and it's giving us more data, but to the point here, this is the economic development portion of CBTV. So
Curtis, all of these priorities, we should be able to pinpoint in the budget where these priorities are represented. Is that correct?
They may be aggregated into other lines, but yeah, we'll be able to explain how we incorporated the concepts into those budget lines.
Okay.
So if I might, just a couple things to bring to light. The only purpose of the Cache Valley Transit District Board is policy. And the only tool the board has in policy is the budget. And so we look at good presentations like this, and it might be easy to say, well, that seems like the right direction. The question we should be asking is, what's missing? What in your priority list is missing on this? Because they'll build out the budget based on this. And then there'll be an accountability of, where is that? Show me how we're actually achieving that through the budget. So that's the connection point between the board, policy, and budget. So take some time and look at it. What's missing? That's the question.
And feel free to call us, call Curtis or myself, if you say, hey, what about this? We'd love to have that input as well.
So is your expectation that at the next meeting we will either bring holes, things that we think are holes, or say this is what we think they should be doing, and we're good with it?
Yeah, I would like to end the next meeting with a vote, hopefully unanimous direction to the board, to the staff, on what the board would like to see in place in terms of policy based on budget. And despite my reputation, we can keep this meeting going all night and discuss it. I want to make sure that you have adequate time to express yourself, and that we're contemplating this. We'll do the exact same thing next time. Let's make sure that this is well thought through.
Well, I would ask a question. In planning, I mean, one of the things that we are about is routes and ridership and accessibility, and that particular piece of planning is not articulated in here. Whether or not that's a priority or it's just incorporated someplace else.
That's a great point. Let's add that. Let's make sure that operation miles are, I don't know the best way to articulate it. But we've had a couple conversations in the last month about this concept of making sure that our routes reflect demand.
So I will just attempt to try and answer that question right now. And that is, in the 23 budget, we put in a large emphasis on developing the long-range plan. And we spent dollars this year, and are still spending dollars. We still haven't wrapped everything up. They're still in the process of wrapping up that long-range plan. So and that dictates where routes are gonna go. We also took time to implement microtransit, which was definitely related to how, and we're continuing to refine that area as to how that works. And we are considering what would be next, but where we're kind of shifting the 24 budget, and this is where we were coming from, is we're shifting the focus of the 24 budget away from actual routes to how do we deliver in those routes, the proper vehicles, electric vehicles. We might even consider other methods. Propane is out there, that's one that's starting to gain traction. And then we want to be able to understand how to move people better along the Main Street. So that's the Main Street study. And then the economic impact, where are we having the greatest impact? And if that leads into other areas that would help define where routes would go, should we put more access into? So there's a lot of things that will derive into actual routes per se, whereas in the 23 year we've actually focused on routes and where they'll go, especially in the long term.
Well, see, I feel like, okay, you do a long range plan. Where do the planning activities that come out of that long range plan appear within the budget structure?
And that's one thing I was going to add to what Curtis is saying. The other part of that, that just is, I guess, kind of ongoing, is what Jody and his team do is, for example, we've been waiting for 100 West to be completed.
It's done,
right? And so they've already been looking at potential route modifications. So these aren't major changes to the existing route. It's just how can we take the existing route structure, Costco's come on, there's some apartments on 200 North, how do we still serve the area, but maybe with some of these changes we can tweak it a little bit? So they're not significant moves, they're just how do we tweak? That's just part of what we're doing constantly, but we have to wait for some of this stuff to be built, and then we can start, we have the design, the overall look, and then we can start looking at how do we go down that street, or where do we turn, and that's more of that we have to get it completed, and then we can start really fine-tuning it. But that stuff's already been being done. Jody and staff already have some of that stuff already done now.
So that's already in the budget?
Yes, that's just part of our ongoing planning efforts. We haven't highlighted it here, but you bring up a good point that we maybe should just say, hey, we're always kind of doing some of those things and make sure that people are aware that we're always doing that.
No, but we are going to make that part of it, because one of the policies of the board has to be continual refinement of long-range plan. Here's the deal about long-range plans.
Absolutely.
As they become shorter, they become more and more wrong. And so as we move up on it, we have to have that as a priority on behalf of the board to make sure this is still an effective and efficient mode of transportation. It's not going to replace the car, but it better be pretty close.
Great points.
Right. Where does expansion fit into this? I don't remember how our conversation, how that came up in our last priorities that we talked about, but like closing the gap between Wellsville and Brigham to connect the valley to the other bus routes and train, and also I think you mentioned to Tremont,
I always want them to go to Beaver Mountain, Garden City,
Beaver
or something
Mountain,
like
that's
that.
Right.
You know, I think that would be.
So where does that fit in? Is there just too much going on to even consider that as part of the?
As we were going through discussing our budget priorities, with the vehicle transition. that strategic plan, with the facility transition plan, with trying to anticipate cost of the new facility, we weren't sure if that would really rise up to the level that we should consider how to expand in the 24 budget. 25 budget, yeah, it may exist as we're focusing on now, we're into the new facility. But for the, and I think it should exist in the 25, I'll openly express my opinion. That's more of like a 25, whereas 24 is really how do we get into the new facility? How do we make sure we're solid and operating out of there? Making sure that we're solid with our employees and we know how to function safely.
So when in 24 are you supposed to be in the new building?
It'll be in December is when it will have access. We'll probably be moving in the very first part of 25.
So it really won't affect the 24 budget?
The
new facility won't?
Well, planning to get into there is what we're doing now. It is what we'll do in 24. Is how do we get in there? How do we operate safely? So that when we get in there, it is just a smooth transition, and then we can focus on, okay, how does expansion happen?
But how does that translate? I'm all for that planning and everything, but how does that translate into the budget? How does that, that's something that is, to me, part and parcel of building this building. You just all have to do that. It's not something that is budgetary necessarily.
For the facility transfer plan, a lot of it's going to be, we're going to allocate resources into developing that facility transition plan versus maybe some of their time would have been dealing with what sort of planning are we going to be doing for expansion in 25. So we're taking people that normally would be doing some of these planning activities, and their time will shift over how do we get into that building. And that's why I say in 25, then we'll reallocate internally those resources into, okay, we're going to now focus on how do we expand, how do we provide service into these different areas, and they would start those planning efforts internally. So it's just a matter of where do we shift the internal resources.
But also with regards to your question, Cecilia, on the planning, I do think, and Therese and I have been working with Sean and Lee Aaron on a kind of a overview of how planning works within the transit district, so that we can come and educate. But I do think that part of the purpose of the long-range plan was to get projects down that we see that we need to at some point do. And we did some level of priority, right? But that's the long range, it's out there. To Patrick's point, now we take those projects and we start working with the board and say, okay, what's the priority now that we're getting more near term? What do we need to do to do that? But quite frankly, the growth in the sales tax and things of that nature have been eaten up by utilities. We're trying to stay current with the market, with wages and things of that nature. But so what we're doing is we're identifying projects and we'll work with the board to identify that priority and saying, okay, so now if we get some additional funding, what would we use that for? And the MPO is going to be looking at, there's two additional sales tax that our county hasn't passed. And the MPO is looking at, how do we encourage the county or when do we encourage the county to pass those taxes? What should the makeup of those taxes be look like? And so I think we're in preparation, we're coming in preparation of if we get additional funding, where would we use that? And that's what we're gonna be working with the board on from that long range plan project of then coming back and really reprioritizing those of what's the next things that we can do.
Great.
So Todd, is it safe to say that as of now, Kinley-Horn's not done yet?
Correct.
So they haven't been able to present us their suggestions, and so we haven't voted on how we would accept and amend those. And so it was the time frame of this is long, so there's nothing in this year's budget to make any large route changes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be in a bullet point here.
Yeah, I don't think we have we're going to be doing some fine tuning. We're always doing that.
That's normal. But anything big, we're not. I mean, we would know about it by now if we're going to put it in next year's budget because of the time frame.
We don't anticipate
it. And Kinley-Horn is not.
Well, and it's,
they're still months away, and then we have to ruminate, cogitate, whatever we on it.
Yeah, so next year we will be kind of fine tuning that for, as Curtis said, 2025,
yeah,
or when we have funding that's available.
So in this interchange, a couple great points came out of it, one of which was what Curtis said. These are the staff's priorities. They're just ideas. They're not your priorities. So if I were listening to this conversation, I probably would have percolated planning up to the top, because that's where most of the conversation has been so far. We're not voting on this tonight. But this needs to be the board's priorities. That's what the whole thing's going to pivot on. So if that bus to Beaver Mountain is the priority, say
it
so.
It isn't bad for anybody but me.
And let's vote. All your friends, vote now and vote often.
Yeah, well, then I'll put a plug for Cherry Peak, guys. Come on. It's closer, less mileage, more efficient. And the roads aren't snowed in.
Well, no, I was just thinking of the heavy use of Logan Canyon, and as it gets heavier and heavier, that it would be nice to be able to say, you can ride the bus, and we're going to stop at three different places along the way and turn around in Garden City and come back. Because that way people could access the trails without taking their own car to the trails.
Yeah, well, the argument I hear a lot is, why do I have to pay for the 10% that want to take advantage of that? Mm-hmm. Or this is sales tax from everyone using. I mean, it's a...
Yeah. That would probably be a fee bus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, we're getting off topic.
It's fine. It's fine. It's your best.
Can I ask you a separate budget question? Yeah. Just with the board rebranding campaign, is this something that the administration will present to us and as an early idea, or is this going to be, we're not going to see it till it's down the road ways?
No, as I tried to mention, I think we're looking at trying to get Rumor to come up to next meeting to present concept and actually start that dialogue.
Okay, so start. Good. I was just thinking, we're an envisioning board. If we don't see a rebranding campaign until it's mid, that seems...
Until it's already cooked.
Yeah, until it's already cooked. So if Rumor's presenting early ideas, then we can
Remember our role. Our role is policy.
Yeah.
And if rebranding is not, and marketing and advertising, that's not policy. Policy is, do we want to spend money on those kind of things? So let's not be tactical, let's not be managers, let's be policymakers.
Curtis, I have a question. Are these categories that you have here the same categories that our long-range plan is? I'm always wanting to know how the budget, how these priorities fit into our long-range plan. So are these the specific, I can't recall the categories
so
or some
the long-range plan tends to focus on where service may go in the future. And so from that standpoint, each one of these categories is going to support areas in the long-range plan. So for example, I can't operate unsafely if we decide to go over to Brigham City. I'm just using an example, that's not... But if we decide to offer going over Brigham City, I've got to have safe drivers going through the canyon in winter type conditions. So as we train our drivers on how to act safely here in winter conditions, and they develop that culture of safety, that will help us implement as transition and service like that. So indirectly, they'll support some of those categories. If I don't stay competitive with wages and I can't hire people, I can't provide that service. And we saw that in Salt Lake. They couldn't service the ski resorts last year because they couldn't get drivers in. So indirectly, these areas are going to support areas underneath that long-range plan. As we come into things, if you remember in last year when we were standing here, we said one of our priorities is to implement the microtransit in the Millville and Providence area. That was in our budget priorities, and then we put that into the actual budget so we could start that. As we get into some of those planning efforts, it says, hey, here's a significant change in service, we would be presenting those in budget categories. And so some areas will have more of a tie into specific areas, especially long term is really hard because typically that's out there 5 years plus, so you won't necessarily see it, but you'll see things leading towards it.
And again, the long-range plan is something that's fluid, right? So we put it out there, you guys voted on it, you say, hey, this is what it is, but it can be updated every year, and it can change as it gets closer. Then we start going, okay, this was priority five, but now it's priority one. Things can move as you guys set policy direction.
I just don't want to see us planning budget items that have nothing to do with what it is we're working on. So that's why I'm asking if these connect into our plan, because I don't want you to say, well, this year we're going to let go of this over here, and now we're going to start a whole new thing over here that we think is more important than what we had set out as a plan.
That's a very fair point. So each one of these, we're considering, where do they help us get to in the future?
That's what I can't see in here. So I'm wondering if there's some way to tag them or connect them.
So I'll give a very specific example. We could not expand service into anything that's in that long-term plan if we're not building that new facility. So that new facility is our project for how we accomplish anything in that long-term plan. Because we have no more space to park vehicles. I mean, we all...
Or to house employees.
Or to house the employees. So we couldn't accomplish any of those things without that. And so, yes, a lot of what we're doing will lead us towards there. And I think we should be accountable to explain, how does this budget lead us to those long-term priorities? I 100% agree with you.
So I guess I'm gonna go down in the weeds here. Some of the items on this list don't relate to budget, in my opinion. Like work with UDOT and Logan City on signal priority implementation. You just got done telling us we didn't have to pay for that. That's just a work plan.
We've got to pay these two to go do that.
Yeah.
But
we have to pay for them to go do that.
But we don't pay them extra.
But you allocate time.
It's allocated.
I mean, it takes hours to do projects, whatever they are. And if we're focused on other projects, then we can't do that project.
So these are the priority projects that we are asking you to assign your time to.
Not just our time, but there's maintenance technicians that are going to be involved.
I know, but it's not going to be the construct the new maintenance administration facility is an allocation of time, because we've already allocated the money to do
you
it.
You could also unallocate that money. You could say, hey, I want that beef for mountain bus instead.
No.
Stop construction.
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying, I'm just trying to fully understand that even though the things look like tasks, they are truly supposed to be allocations of time.
Absolutely.
And money.
Okay.
I guess in answer to Jeannie's question, my point would be, when I see a budget, I see resources. Now dollars are a portion of that, but when I put dollars into employee time, that's an employee's time. It's a resource that we're directing. Where is that employee going to pay their attention to? Where will those employees focus? And some employees, they are types where a portion of their job has to go into certain areas. There's a huge chunk of my time that's taken away from certain financial planning right now and dedicated into the facility and how we're making sure that project's completed properly. So there's a resource allocation in there. And you're right, Jeannie, it's not a specific dollar amount. It's already in the wages that are in there. But I'm always analyzing, is our staffing correct? Do we have the resources that we need for these projects? And if we pull somebody off onto a task of developing our facility transition plan, what planning isn't happening? It's a very valid question. What planning isn't happening? Because we will have people dedicated to developing this plan, and they won't be going out, maybe driving around trying to figure out where things, or they might not be pulling reports as to where on and offs are picking up in planning different stop locations. So yeah, there is an allocation of resources that we're saying we're going to put staff time towards this area.
So when you talk about policy, Patrick, that's that allocation of resources.
So when you talk about policy, it lives in this language that's in front of us, and it's backed up by the budget. So if I tell them that, yep, you're right, our employees are our greatest asset, mm-hmm. and that I make sure that the budget for employees is cut. That was not my policy, was it?
Right.
And so we'll formulate projects as our policy for 2024. And then we'll come back and in these same headers, we'll say, okay, these are the dollars that are gonna be allocated to it. And in all fairness, yes, salary feels like a universal thing that goes on all year long, but salary is equated to time. Mm-hmm. And we have to allocate so much time to legislative activities, building maintenance and facility development. And you know, all I have to do is say that budget for that building is not important to me. You need to stay on financial planning because your investments are killing it right now, and they'll reallocate resources to that. That's how the policy will flow through.
Okay, thank you.
Great question.
So we'll start in language and in projects, and we'll end in dollar figures.
But if necessary, Curtis could make a map that says this translates to this in this way and get specific down to a single line item if necessary, so that I think it's important for us to understand that as we talk about this at a 30,000 foot level, Curtis and his staff are already crunching numbers right down to the very penny to make sure that what we say here ends up being part of this budget. And if necessary, that there are other things that are taken out of the budget in order to make that happen.
Great.
Other questions on priorities, policy or dollars?
I don't know if this is priority or not. It's not on the page, but I'm curious. I want to publicly thank Todd for taking the time to come and present the story behind having a certain number, not to exceed so much unless from the state legislature, on a board. I appreciated him saying it from a professional point of view. I could have said it, but it wouldn't have sounded like what Todd said that my counsel would have. They would have thought, oh, she was out of the game. So thank you, Todd. Then my next question is there a timeline when our board will have to be cut to the size that it needs to be?
Yeah, let's talk about that under either the general manager report or the board chair report. Are you going to talk about it or what?
I can.
Okay.
Can you tell me?
I will.
Okay.
good question. We need to hit that one. Any other conversation about the 2024 budget at this point? Want to just walk away and think about it? Or any feedback so far?
So in the budget workshops, hopefully you'll be able to get to the point where you can get to some of those in the weeds, as Jeannie said, that some of this, okay, this will cost X amount. It's going to be part of this number here. Can you?
We'd love to be able to answer those questions in a workshop format. It's very easy to do because we can bring up a lot more information.
Please, please, please participate in those. I used to sit on a city council. We'd go till like 3 in the morning because we would not workshop it. So please attend those workshops.
It's helpful. It gets us into a little bit smaller groups. Let's just really focus on your individual question and making sure that
So look at this and come up with your questions, see, as Jeannie did, and let's have some good workshops on this.
Okay, thank you, Curtis. All right, we're going to move on to the general manager report. You're disappointed.
All right. You said it.
Okay, so we are having all kinds of fun things going on. Let's talk about the board and the reallocation of the board. So this board was kind enough to unanimously recommend a structure that was presented to the mayors. We've sent Todd out to visit to all of the mayors, and you've hit how many?
All of them.
You've hit all of them. And we haven't hit the county council yet.
Correct.
Okay, so we're going to be doing that in September, Sean and I. and presenting how it's starting to shake out. And then it's up to the mayors to appoint board members, and it's up to those city councils to ratify that appointment. The objective is to have the new board by January 1. Legally, we have to apply that code by...
The code took effect in May, but we're working towards it, so we're fine.
I had in my mind 7 months, but we're on track.
We're fine.
So do you have to report back to the legislature or are you done?
No, we just need to be in compliance. So.
And note, we have not been in compliance as a board for a long time because we used to have it by service mile. That would have required that we change the board every single year. So this is a much more efficient way to deal with it. Any questions or conversation you want to have about board reapportionment?
How has it been received, Todd?
Very positively. Everyone understands the need. And I think, again, all of your mayors very much appreciate your service, and they have expressed that. They recognize that there's a need to change. And so I think, you know, some people will go off the board, but I'm sure your mayors will get with you if you do and express their appreciation. But yeah, so it will take effect in January. But tell them you got to come because we got to conduct business, right?
Well, that would be critical because we can't vote on a budget.
Correct.
So after talking about the budget, the board is kind of giving CDTV a raise because you won't have to pay so much in attendance to give us a little cookie as we walk out the door.
We'll put that back into the budget to use.
Is that where it will go?
Yeah.
And to my understanding, some of the mayors are still deliberating, right?
Correct, yeah. And again, what we're trying to do is get the cities to pass the resolution. That gets us in compliance. As Patrick said, the appointment, it may come before the end of the year, or it may come right at the end of the year, but they're working on that.
I think it was smart as a philosophy to put the responsibility on the mayor. And on his council, or her council, as the case may be. So that's not our problem if there's a problem.
Yeah.
They told you.
Thank you all for your patience on it. I know this has kind of been a difficult and trying thing, but it's been, everybody's worked together on it, so thank you. I think that's really all I wanted to talk about. Anything else? Anybody want to chat about anything else? Want to go back to the building and have tilt-ups work? That was kind of fun. On that note, thank you. We're adjourned.
Thank you.